2 weeks ago, I turned down all the lights in the auditorium, had one light up here, and we focused on one of the last sayings of the Lord on the cross. What was that saying? I thirst. And what we did is we looked at what that meant. And as he said those words, we began to understand just what Jesus Christ physically endured for our sin. We looked at the time before when he was brought before the religious leaders and beaten and mocked and made fun of. Following that, there was the trail he took to the cross. And then being crucified on the cross, we talked about that. And just the utter pain and agony that he went through for us. When Jesus Christ said, I thirst, the bridge that that is to us today is he understands physical suffering. He went through it. He understands emotional suffering. He knows that. He was deserted. He was betrayed for us. He can understand that pain. Those were about the fifth words that he said on the cross. We're going to back up to the first words he gave in just a moment. But let me ask you this. Have you ever been betrayed by a friend? Have you ever been stabbed in the back, figuratively, by something they said or something they did? And our first reaction, most of the time, if we're honest, is to say, I'm going to get them back, and I'm going to get ahead. I'm not just going to get even, I'm going to get ahead of them. These things happen to Jesus Christ. What we're going to look at is his amazing reaction to those words. What did Jesus Christ do? He was falsely accused. Think about all of what he went through. We're going to finish this short series. The series is entitled Christ's Last Words. Today we're going to look at Father, forgive them. It's going to be in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Folks, I've only got one verse this morning. I'm not going to go very long. Amen? Just seeing if you're awake, if you're with me. All right. Let's review briefly. As he was on the cross, the first words that he uttered were, Father, forgive them. Then after a period of time, he has a conversation with two of the other thieves that are on the cross with him. And in that conversation, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. We're going to look at those words in a couple of weeks and what those words mean. A little bit longer, he looks down from the cross and sees his mother and the disciple with her. And in that short, brief conversation, mother, your son. That disciple is going to take care of his mother. That point. Then he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He probably yelled it out. Following that, he said, I thirst. And after that, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he died. What was Jesus' response to those who crucified him, to those who set him up, beat him, and literally nailed him to the cross? What was his response to them? Let's look at Luke 23 and verse 34. I'd like you to read this verse with me. Let's read it together. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, most likely, when he uttered these words, he was talking to his heavenly Father. He was talking to God. And it was said as a prayer. It's interesting. He's on the cross, and the first reaction that we get, the first words that come out of his mouth at this point, were, Father, forgive them. So he took that cross and set it up and it slammed down into that hole. They removed the ropes and he was being crucified. You know, it's opposite of what typically takes place, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is not a nice scene, a crucifixion. People are gathered together and they're yelling insults at the people being crucified. And those being crucified are yelling and cursing back. They're spitting. It's an awful scene. It's nothing pleasant. What was going on at this time? And you know what? Jesus' words are powerful. The first words out of his mouth are, "Father, forgive them." He offers it as a prayer. It's interesting because Jesus said a couple of years earlier in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who make fun of you," for lack of a better translation. "Pray for your enemies." And Jesus Christ on the cross did that. And that was a total opposite reaction of what was taking place during a normal crucifixion. It's opposite of the world. You see, somehow, though, we have the picture that he's weak, and he's really not. He's very strong. And in fact, I love the song at Easter. He could have called how many? 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. That's a great song. You know where that comes from? Everybody in the room, I want you to open your Bible to Revelation 19 or the blue Bibles provided for you on page 877. Let's look at this. I think this is very important for just a minute. Revelation chapter 19, this and it's verse 11. This is a picture of the future, Revelation 19:11. This is talking about the second coming when he will come back. But we can also read this and say this is what was available to him as he was on the cross. Okay, page 877 in the Blue Bibles and Revelation 19:11. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God." We're talking about Jesus Christ here. "The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations." Let me just say, this is a picture of the end times before the Battle of Armageddon, which you'll see if you look in the rest of this passage. But men and women, this was what was available to him. He could have called at any moment and said, "Come." And they would have destroyed the world and set him free. But you know what? He went through with it all the way to the end. Revelation 19 is a helpful passage when we look at what was available to him and what he could have done, but he chose not to. He didn't even speak against them. He didn't even speak against these people. What do you do when you've been treated unfairly? If you want to follow the example of Jesus Christ, on your outline, I've said it this way, when you've been stabbed in the back, and it will happen, we look at the example of Jesus Christ. The first thing he did is he prayed. On the cross, he looked up and prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." When you're angry, well, that's the last thing, isn't it, that we want to do? Anybody agree with me? Is it the last thing that you want to do when you're angry, when you're upset? I guess there's two or three of us here. The rest of you, I guess, have this under control. Okay, good news. All right. Man, things are not going your way. Pray. That's what Jesus Christ did. Listen to this. Jesus Christ, innocent man, sinless Son of God, endured an illegal trial, falsely accused, betrayed. His first response, folks, he prayed on the cross for forgiveness. When life knocks you to your knees, you're in the perfect position to pray. So pray. It will. Life will hit you from a variety of angles, through people, through situations. You're going to get taken advantage of at times. Life is not perfect. Life is difficult. Life is hard. The difference is we have the Lord who is with us. But there are going to be times when you're hit hard, and when you're down, knocked to your knees, you're in the right position to pray. So pray. That's what Jesus Christ did. Now, is there a time to respond? Yes. I believe that we work through a process, but the first thing Jesus Christ did is he prayed. What did he pray for? Now, this is even more interesting. Let's look at verse 34 again. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, this is interesting. Did he pray for himself in this verse? Would that have been normal? Sure, it would have. Relieve me of this agony and this pain and what I'm going through. His prayer, though, is, "Father, forgive them." He didn't say, "Father, help me." He prayed for others in this process. He did not pray for retaliation. Could he have done that? Yes, he could have done that. He did not pray for that. But he prayed for their forgiveness. Their forgiveness. Okay, let's go back to your outline. The idea again, when you're stabbed in the back, when you are taken advantage of. Number one, you pray. Number two, forgive. Forgive. It is a process, but you must forgive if you want to follow Christ's example. Now, you can do your own thing, but if you want to follow what he says, forgive. See, the problem is we have people that don't forgive. And they think that by not forgiving, somehow their life is going to be better or that it's going to be easier. Folks, that is not true. Medically, they will tell you, if you hold it in, not being a forgiving person, you get angry, you take it in, you become depressed, you become disillusioned, you become anger and bitter and cantankerous. That's what happens, and we think, I'm not going to forgive that person. Well, good luck. Really? If that's the way you're going to live your life, you're going to be in for some hard days. Jesus Christ didn't have to forgive. Man, he was innocent. They set him up. They did everything. And he said, forgive them. It's hard to do at times. But you must come to a point where you can forgive people. It's interesting. Look at the last phrase. Well, it's on verse 34. It says, they do not know what they're doing. Father, these people have no idea what they're doing. But he asked for them to be forgiven. Whew. Think about that. Just think about what he endured and what his reaction was. Think about then the last time you went through a difficult time. Was your reaction the reaction of Jesus Christ? Wow. When you are stabbed in the back, when you are falsely accused, you can do a lot of things. The first thing you should do is pray and forgive. Christ did. That's what he did. Now, it's interesting. He is to be our example. You know, the scripture talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians was authored by Paul through the work of the Holy Spirit. But Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You see, we are to follow Christ's example. Now, we have that in the Gospels, but as we go into the rest of the New Testament, we are to follow the example of Paul as he follows the example of Christ. This is what he did. You don't forgive. There's a word that probably characterizes our lives when we don't do that. It's the word pride. And the middle letter in the word pride is the letter what? I. I'm not going to do this. I'm too stubborn. I'm too ornery. I'm just not going to forgive that person, no matter what. That's I. That's pride. God hates pride. He forgave us. You know, I think one of the most interesting things I learned in a class a couple of years ago is, how do you ask for forgiveness? Think about that. Many times, I don't think we're taught how to ask for forgiveness. Oh, it's something we don't intentionally overlook, but how do you ask for forgiveness? Many people will say, and this is okay because I think it's meant well, I'm sorry. Now, how many of you played a board game called Sorry where you would flip the dice and then you take the little players and go around and you catch up with another color player and you put it there and you'd say, I'm sorry, and they would go back to the beginning. Now, does saying I'm sorry, that's okay. Let me make a suggestion. When you say I'm sorry, that's all right, but it's fairly general, fairly vague. I don't believe that is a genuine apology from what I have learned to this point. Now, it may be for you, and I'm not judging your apology, but let me make a suggestion. I was wrong. How about that? There's no doubt about that. It's not, I'm sorry, I got caught, or I'm sorry, yeah, no. I was wrong. Or, I did not understand that I hurt you in that way. That's true too. You may not necessarily be wrong, you just hurt somebody with what you said. Folks, let's say it together, these three words. I was wrong. Let's say it again, I am wrong. I am wrong. All right. Now, let me make that as a suggestion when you apologize. When you can get those words out, I believe that it's coming from your heart and you are taking the responsibility at that point. The second phrase I would add to that is, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Even with my wife this week, we had a disagreement. We do have disagreements, you know. We do. And in this case, my wife asked me, will you forgive me? Folks, most of the time it's me asking that question. And don't make any mistake about it, 99.7% of the time it's me. But in this case it was, will you forgive me? And I said, yes. Learn to apologize. And I'm not trying to discredit anybody's apology at all. I'm just saying, I was wrong, or I did not understand. Second phrase, will you forgive me? I believe when you can say that and understand, that's not a bad way to apologize. And believe me, the person who receives the apology will know that too. All right. When you're nailed by somebody, pray and forgive. You see, go back to your outline. This is what this whole message is about. The cross is about forgiveness. That's what it's all about. Easter. Jesus Christ dying for my sin and yours. Beyond that, there's a couple of other thoughts. Just let me reemphasize through them on your outline. Pray for those who spitefully treat you. The natural reaction is to protect yourself, and I think there's a point to do that, but try prayer. Try prayer first. Say, God, do a work in their life. Tell them to quit doing that to me, or whatever it is. I think try that. Pray for those who spitefully treat you, for those who stab you in the back. That's the first reaction Christ had. That's what he did. That is what Jesus did. You can do your own thing, folks. I can do my own thing. But this is what Jesus did. You see, let me say it another way because this is just so powerful. Come to the cross to be forgiven and forgive. You are forgiven in that you come and you ask for forgiveness of your sin. You can be forgiven. And now you are to go out and practice forgiveness. That is one of the great lessons of the cross. Come to the cross to be forgiven and forgive. I'm going to show part of the Jesus film. This is a video that has been translated into hundreds of languages around the world. Campus Crusade for Christ uses this video. I have shown this video in Russian. I've showed it in the Philippines. It was in English at that point. And what we are going to do is take a moment or two, and we're going to look at the crucifixion. Actually, I move forward through some of it so that they are actually on the cross at this point. Let me say a couple of things. Number one is that they will labor to get words out. You see, if you understand crucifixion, basically it's death by suffocation because of the amount of weight and trying to push up with your feet in order to breathe. That is why they will labor so hard in their breathing. In fact, what they would do in crucifixion is after a while they would come and break the legs of those that are crucified so they couldn't push up and they would suffocate. I hate to give you so much detail, but I think sometimes we just get so immune to this. We just say, oh, Christ died. No, it's a horrible, painful death. What we're going to do is just look at two of those last words he will give on the cross and just the results of those. And then we're going to take a moment. We're going to leave the lights down after that. We're going to take a moment and Susan's going to come and play. We're just going to take a few moments to just pray and thank God for what he has done and what he endured for us.
Saved others, let him save himself.
Yes, come down from the cross.
Show us one of your miracles.
Save yourself if you are the king of the Jews.
Thank you. Hunt. You, the Messiah. Save yourself and us.
Don't you fear God? He received the same sentence you did. But he has done no wrong. Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king.
I promise you, today you will be in paradise with me.
It was now about the sixth hour, and a darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour. The temple was torn right down the middle.
Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
The Old Testament.
Joseph.
In order to be right relationship with God, a sacrifice had to be given. That's why in the Old Testament we have all the sacrifices. But see, Jesus Christ came to earth. He was sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin, the only one acceptable. And this is the way in which God chose to provide salvation for us, is through a perfect sacrifice. That's why he died. He died and paid the penalty for our sin. And that by asking for forgiveness of our sin because of what he endured, we have a hope. We have eternity. We have a life worth living. Yeah, Susan, if you'll play softly, please. Just bow your head. Just thank the Lord for what he has endured 2,000 years ago for us. Just share your heart with him. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. We're reminded again just through this film. I thank you because of the message of this film that hundreds and thousands of people have come to Jesus Christ. Lord, I think of our area. I think of how much our area needs to know this good news. Beyond that, need to know that there is hope, there is a future, and there is purpose in life. Lord, I pray for this next week that you will bring people to us that we can invite, that we can share, And we look forward to next weekend when we focus on the fact that you have arisen. Every leader of every religion, dead and gone, but you arose. We praise you for that. Lord, thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you just for a moment with the cards that you have. That just pray that God would bring somebody into your life. An opportunity just to come to church. Easter's an easy time. I want you to know there's a neighbor across the street from me I'm going to. And there's some neighbors around us that we've talked to. And we're going to do it again. And it may take 2, 3, 4, 5 times. I don't care. We never give up. Because this message is too important. And it's a message that has to do with our eternity. Let me encourage you, be faithful. And be committed. Thank you, Lord, for just our time this morning. We go out from here and we go into a world that's dying, that desperately needs you. Help us to be lights. Help us to be salt. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of being your message bearers. Thank you for this time of the year. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name.